Ephesians 5 and verse number 15. This is a pretty, well, all of it should be well known. But this is a verse that comes to my mind often, and I believe keeps me where I need to be in most cases. It came to me the other night. I was scrolling online, come across something that my eyes didn't need to see, and I had a choice in that moment. I could continue, or I could be circumspect and go the opposite direction. I chose to go the opposite direction. And that's what I have on my heart tonight to preach to you about, that word circumspect. Verse number 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless this passage of Scripture. I pray, Lord, that you would help. You would give me wisdom. You would allow me to preach in your power and in your ability. God, I need you. Every hour I need you. I need you, Lord, when I wake up in the morning. I need you, Lord, to carry me through the day. I need you at night. God, I need you with me. And I pray, Lord, that as I preach tonight, you will stand with me and you will help me and give me the right words to say. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach to you tonight on this thought, living in the present. That scripture that I read to you said, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now in this passage we are given two tasks that we need to do. One of them is walking circumspectly and the other is redeeming the time. And these two verses, they're together, I believe the Holy Spirit inspired them and put them together out of necessity. They complement each other. The tasks that are listed in them, you can't have one without the other. The word circumspectly means to pay close attention to. It means to consider all circumstances and possible consequences, and even the consequences of our actions or our walk. That's why he told us to walk circumspectly. And it's not until that we walk circumspectly that we redeem the time. It's not until we start paying attention to what we're doing and what we're participating in. It's not until we start paying attention to what's going on in our life that we start making the correct choices or making the right decisions. Anybody can go out and not pay attention to what's going on and live their life as though there's nothing to look forward to or nothing to, no future ahead. And I'm going to talk about that here in just a moment. And they lose circumspect. They lose the ability to pay attention to what's going on around them. And because they lose this ability, when they go to have time, they don't redeem the time. They don't make nothing of the time that God has given to them. They just allow whatever to happen. This is why I spend, now maybe you don't have this problem, but this is why I spend hours sometimes scrolling social media. I have to be very careful of that. Recently I stepped away from Facebook. Maybe Facebook ain't your vice, but it is mine, or it was mine. And I found myself being so stinking nosy about what was going on in everybody else's life that I was allowing my life to slip by. So I just deleted the stinking app off my phone. What's the point in having something to look at what everybody else has achieved or what everybody else has done? That was not circumspect of me. And it certainly wasn't redeeming the time. I think about recently, if I can speak about time. Recently, I've been trying to listen to more audiobooks, pay closer attention to my Bible. I have this commute, and praise God for it. I have about a 35-minute commute every single day, one way, about 35 minutes, so 70 minutes, hour and 10 minutes that I have in my commute that I can listen to good books and listen to the Bible and hear things that edify me rather than things that tear me down. I found that if I like the old twangy sound of country music, but I found that when I listen to nothing but country music, I get myself in trouble. Before long, all I find is myself crying, loving, and y'all okay? If I listen to a bunch of music about crying, loving, and leaving for too long, I'm going to be thinking about crying, loving, and leaving somewhere. Amen? What comes into us comes out of us. And what we pour into ourselves is what we produce. Your body takes in things for nutrients. Your mind takes in things for nutrients. Your eyes take in things for nutrients. And whatever you put in there is what will come out. We have to be careful and redeem the time, and that comes with circumspect walk. Now, there are two specific places where the Lord speaks concerning our past, present, and our future, or our time, or time as we know it. Now, we must remember that God operates outside of what we understand as time. God does not have to operate in an hour. When we pray and we say, well, Lord, I need you to answer this prayer in an hour, and then the answer that you wanted does not come in an hour, you think God's betrayed you, when in actuality, God might have been working something a whole lot better than what you thought was best. But because you didn't give him time to work, or you didn't wait upon the Lord, because the Bible tells us those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint, amen? But you didn't have time to wait on the Lord. Hey, friend, he does not operate on your time. My goodness, you get upset with God over something that he doesn't even, isn't even bound by. You think you have the power and the audacity to look at God and say, you're going to do this in my time, the way that I want you to, friend of mine. He's not obstructed, nor is he bound by your understanding of time. Well, God didn't move on this one little thing, so that must mean that God don't care about me. Ah, hogwash, he's brought you thus far. What it is, you've got a distorted view of what reality is, and you'd rather look at the view that the devil would have you to see than what God would want you to see. Thank God we have the Bible, which is steadfast and true. So these two specific places where the Lord speaks concerning our past, our present, and our future. Philippians 3:13, the Bible says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Now that word apprehended, we use it a lot of time with police work. When someone is apprehended, they are stopped. And Paul said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I hadn't stopped, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. And then in Matthew 6:34, the Bible says, take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We're living in some perilous times. There are great complex problems that are completely out of my understanding and out of my control. There are times of uncertainty, and our help, child of God, our help is prayer. Not our only help, but our help is prayer. If we want help, we must pray. Talk with the Lord. What a better way to redeem the time than to pray, rather than worry or fret or stress out about something that is out of our control. It will do us no good to worry or fret about things in our past or things that might come our way in the future. And I do not believe that the Lord wants us to live in the past or in the future, but I believe the Lord wants us to live prayerfully in the here and now. Amen. Right now. right now. See, sometimes we are so, well, let's just get the message. There are many that live in the past. There's a lot of people that live in the past. Philippians 3:13, I know I've already read it to you, but I want to read it to you again. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I have not stopped. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. They live under their past sins. I've known a lot of good Christians, good men and women of God who could have made great impacts for the kingdom of God had they not allowed their past sin to prevent them from serving God. Y'all all right? There are a lot of people who can do a lot of good, but they say in their mind or in their heart, they'll say, I'm not worthy of that. God didn't call you to be worthy. He called you to be obedient. God didn't call you wanting you to be the perfect Christian that always does everything right and always lines up with Scripture and always looks the part and always acts the part and always dresses the part. God called you to be obedient to Him and to serve Him with gladness. But if you're living under the guilt and the shame of your past sin, you're not going to be able to serve God effectively because you're going to allow that to take precedence over the here and now. All right. We remember them, but God has forgotten our sin. Hebrews 8:12 says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. The accuser of the brethren, the devil, is the one that brings up those past sins. He's the one that reminds you, hey, I know what you did Friday night. I know what you was involved in last week. I know what you did 20 years ago. There ain't nothing that'll keep you awake at night like remembering something you did 25 years ago. There ain't nothing that will cause you any more mental. Some of you ain't even 25 years old yet, and y'all's agreeing with me. There's nothing that will cause you any more mental anguish than replaying your sins over in your mind and telling yourself why that God can't use you because you've done this, you've done that, I participated in this, I've been that, I've done this, I've done that. God don't remember that. He applied that blood to your heart. He washed you whiter than snow. Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white, though they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. To be as wool would be white, white like wool. You know, when you shear a sheep and you pull it off of there, you have to do something to the wool that comes off of the sheep. You have to separate it and you have to comb it. And the more you separate it and the more you comb it, the whiter that fleece becomes, that wool fleece becomes, to eventually it's almost a pure white color. It's incredible. I encourage you to watch it happen, and I'm sure you could find a video somewhere, but it's amazing to see that process. In other words, the more of the junk that is caught up in the fleece is removed, the whiter it becomes. That's why the Bible says they shall be as wool. The more the things that you allow God to remove out of your life, the cleaner, the more pure you become. And all the while, God don't remember that. God remembers that His blood was applied to your life. You've been saved. You've been born again. God has applied the blood to your life. He looks at you and I. He sees the blood. He sees the sacrifice. He doesn't see the sin and the sorrow and the shame that goes along with that. They're living under their past sins. He cast our sin in the depths of the sea. Oh yeah, I got a Bible for it. Micah 7:19 says, He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. He didn't say He would subdue our enemies. He said He would subdue our iniquities, our internal sins. He would subdue those things. He would have control over those things. Amen. And thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. And there they'll stay for eternity in the mind of God. It is you that brings up your sin. It is the devil that brings up your sin. It is not God. Many, they live in the past and under their past sins, and many bring up others' past. God help you. I've heard a lot of times that, as being a preacher and a pastor, I've heard a lot of times when I've preached a message that's hard to swallow, clean your own porch off, preacher. I've heard it. I've had people tell me that. You make sure everything's right before you say something like that. No, you just let me worry about preaching. But there are a lot of people that bring up somebody else's past. But he's removed our sin as far as the east is from the west. Psalm 103, 11 through 14 says, "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, and he remembereth that we are dust." Man, it'd do us some good to remember that we're all just dust. We're all just dust. We're all just clay in the potter's hands. We're all being marred and made over again. Thank God for the redeeming quality of the blood of Jesus and what it does for our life. There are many people that live in the past. I remember one time I had a loved one. He's gone on now, but I had a loved one, and I went to visit him, and he was toward the end of his life. He was wealthy and could make large donations and things like that. And I just went to visit him. I didn't want anything from him. I quite literally just wanted to visit him. And so I went to his house, and he was older, and you had to, he couldn't hear you knocking on the door. You had to go knock on his window, and he slept. We knew that he slept right up under his window. So I went over there, and I knocked on his window, and I did the preacher knock. I don't know if y'all know what the preacher knock is or not, but the preacher knock is when you take your pocket knife and you, that's the preacher knock. That's how you get somebody's attention. Some of you have heard that knock before. And I did that. I don't know if he was asleep or exactly what had happened, but I must have shook him up. And he said, "Who is it?" I said, "Josh, you." He said, "I go, Josh, your nephew." And he said, "What do you want?" I said, I just came to see you." And he said, "Nah, you want something. I'm not giving you anything." I said, I don't want nothing from you. I just wanted to come visit you. But if you don't want me here, I'm going to go. I'm going to leave." And I started walking. And I heard him moving through his house, and he came to the door, and he opened the door, and he said, "No, come on in." He was holding me accountable for what others had done to him. And there are a lot of people that live in the past that way, and they hold somebody else accountable for what others had done to them. Friend of mine, that's not Christ-like. Many live in the past. Many live in the future. There's nothing wrong with planning. There's nothing wrong with putting back for your retirement. There's nothing wrong with that. But understand that the life is more than food and raiment. Might be a nod to this morning there, amen? Well, what do you mean people live in the future, preacher? Well, Matthew 6, 34 said, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." I know people that spend more time thinking about what's going to happen tomorrow than they do accomplishing things today. Getting things done. Well, what am I going to do tomorrow? Lots of people plan great things in the by and by and do nothing in the here and now. I'm I'm just going, here we go. Christians waste opportunities by putting off things until tomorrow. We intend to do marvelous things for the Lord and to serve the Lord with humility and with humbleness and love in our hearts, and then we procrastinate and nothing gets done. I was going to do that. I was going to, here's what something, and praise God, Miss Terrence, I've had some people on my heart, been meaning to invite them to a service come for Easter service. I don't know if they'll come any other day, but I believe they might just come on Easter Sunday. Y'all help me pray for them. They might even be watching, so I'm not going to say their name, but I believe the Holy Spirit's going before me. But anyway, I told Miss Tara about it. Well, I don't know if y'all know this about Miss Tara, but she's a prayer warrior, and she got to praying for them. And she done talked to somebody else, and now done got some built-in accountability. And if I don't contact these people, I believe the Lord might just strike me dead, Brother John. Y'all all right? Isn't it sad to say, well, I was going to invite so-and-so to church, and maybe they'd get saved, but then I got busy, and I didn't invite them? Or how horrific will it be to stand before God Almighty and try to explain to Him that we got caught up in a rabbit hole on social media and we didn't take time to tell somebody about Jesus? How sad will it be when we look across the great divide of eternity and we see people, if God allows us to see people, and we see those that we could have reached, we see those we could have contacted, but we live too much in the future. We said, I'll just do it another day. Oh my. It should be a sobering thought for a Christian. Pharaoh is a good example of somebody who lived in the future. What do you mean, preacher? Corey, I looked back there just now with my glasses on, and I couldn't see real good, and all I saw was that little American flag on that thing up there, and I thought you was raising your hand to speak. He was like, no, you better leave me alone. His face is getting red, Abby. Pharaoh is one who lived in the future. I'll start taking my glasses off, brother, when Pharaoh lived in the future. What do you mean, preacher? In Exodus chapter number 8, verses 8 through 10, I want to read these to you. The Bible says, then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people. This might be Brother Todd's favorite passage of Scripture. And I will let the people go that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy house that they may remain in the river only? And Pharaoh said, tomorrow. Moses said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. Pharaoh was so concerned about the future. Now you go back and reread the story of the Hebrews in Pharaoh's captivity, and all of Pharaoh's problem was, if they go away, our future will be different because nobody will be here to work. That's it in a nutshell. Please, go back and read it for yourself. He was more concerned about what the future would look like than what was happening right now. I've never slept in a bed with frogs in it. I don't intend to ever sleep in a bed with frogs in it. And I'm telling you, if somebody comes into my house and there's frogs in my bed that I'm going to sleep in, and they say to me, when do you want me to get rid of the frogs? I'm not going to say, well, about 9 o'clock tomorrow morning be all right. We all going to say, now, man, get rid of them things right now. What's happening now is more important than what's going to happen tomorrow. What's happening in church tonight is more important than the work day tomorrow. We might miss out on strength that God would give at a Sunday night service because we're more concerned about tomorrow. Y'all don't throw nothing at me. Well, I got a plan for tomorrow. I want you to have a great tomorrow. And little orphan Annie said that it's always a day away. But it's liable not be. Just because she sung it don't make it so. I'm thinking now of a man. He got up in the morning to go to work. It was about 5 o'clock in the morning. He had an accident in his car. He rolled over onto the top of a culvert and was instantly killed. His wife came to the funeral home where I was working, and she said he just left to go to work like every other day. Proverbs 27:1 says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." You don't know what's coming on tomorrow. You know what you think you have planned for tomorrow, but you don't know what's coming on tomorrow. Friend of mine, don't be so caught up in tomorrow that you forget about the today. I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty of it. I don't talk about this often, but I feel the need to talk about it tonight. I about ran a church into the ground thinking about tomorrow. What my ministry could be because I was thinking about tomorrow. Gateway, you got the more experienced version. That poor old church over there, they were patient with me and they loved me and they cared about me when I was mean as a junkyard dog. I know that's hard to imagine. But it's the truth. God in heaven gave mercy. We can't live in the tomorrow. We have to live in the present. We are to live in the present. There's number three. We're to live in the present. 1 Peter 5, verses 6 through 8 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." So, preacher, how do I live in the present? A couple years ago, in Sunday school, we went through a series of lessons on anxiety and things of that nature. And, man, a passage of Scripture hit me like a ton of bricks when I was studying and preparing for that. And went back over it, and it just didn't seem to have the similar impact, same material, but just not similar impact as the first time. 2 Corinthians 10:5 is what that lesson came off of, was the text for that. And here's what that verse says, and here's how you live in the present. Casting down imaginations. Casting down imaginations. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. The past, those thoughts. The future, those thoughts. You got to bring them into captivity. You got to cast down those imaginations. That little what if that lurks in the back of your mind that prevents you because of something you did 25 years ago, something you got caught up in, you've paid your debt to society, you've went through that, but that thing just keeps on nagging at you and you keep on allowing it. Friend of mine, it might be hindering you from doing something that could change somebody's life. Casting down those imaginations. Hebrews tells us to lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us. Many of the imaginations that come up in my mind are weights and sin that so easily beset me. Now, old devil, once you're saved, he can't have your heart, but he can wreak havoc in your mind. And if you allow it, He'll wreak havoc in your life. But there is a Savior who loves us. There is a balm in Gilead. There's help. There's hope. There's strength. There's wisdom. You are not so far gone that the grace of God can't reach His hand down to where you're at and bring you up out of that miry pit, set your feet on a solid rock and establish your goings. You're not too far gone. You're not too far gone. Sometimes I have to rehearse in my mind that little old song, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Man, I wish, Christian, that I could get you to understand that Jesus loves you past, present, and future, and wants to use you for His good. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, You've heard what I've preached tonight, and I pray, Father, that You would move in this invitation time. Lord, I pray that You would help our people. You would help me. God, You would help us to live currently with what's right here in front of us, understanding, Lord, that You're on Your throne. We can't add anything to our stature. We can't increase ourselves. But, Lord, we can lean on You. God, I pray that You would help. Give wisdom. Work. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with us while we sing?